All right, Sean, we've got a lot of questions,
yeah.
Probably more questions than we have time.
Yeah, we got some good ones.
But let's get it going.
Well, this first one is actually to Anita, who
she
skipped out on
night.
Us.
Yeah.
So I'm really fascinated to hear what your answer might be to this question for Anita. What is one thing your husband wishes you wouldn't share on stage? Can
after
I just say, if I was her husband, it would be everything that she shared
yes.
on stage.
I think we could ask Mark Myers that. What is the one thing? He could name several. She was great last night, though. That was
yeah,
so fun.
Yeah, it was fantastic. All right, so Jennifer, can you please share some tips how to memorize scripture? And we get this question a lot, Fresh
mm-hmm.
Ground of Faith,
yeah.
all over the country, because we all, well, I really struggle with memorizing scripture, but you seem to just be able to recall it with ease. So what's mm-hmm. the trick?
Well, the trick is, the caveat is this, something that looks easy wasn't, okay? So don't assume because something looks easy, it is. Mm. And there is discipline involved and there is a focus involved. And so because of blindness, I've had to memorize, of course, but I'm actually grateful that I've had to because now I've got it. It's in my heart. So like this morning when I quoted Psalm 46 for you, did you notice I would look up, I would move my hands, mm-hmm. like I was literally making the earth move into the midst of the sea. I was making the mountains shake with the swelling. So I'm very physical as I memorize. I also do a lot of mnemonic devices to help me memorize. There's so many ways. I'm going to tell you two things. One, there is a podcast called Bible Memory Goals by Josh Summers. He has guests on. I've been one of his guests who can help you learn how to memorize because you can do it. You're not too old. You can do it. I promise. And it is the most gratifying thing to be able to memorize scripture.
That's Goals, Bible Memory Goals.
Bible Memory Goals. The host is Josh Summers.
Okay, that's good.
And by the way, we'll send you an email after this conference. We will make sure we have a link to that. Kenzie, could you note that? We'll have a link to Bible Memory Goals to that podcast.
Yeah. All right, Kirk, next question is for you.
Okay.
What's it like?
I think I've already spilled enough beans
you have
today.
Lots of beans, bro. Yeah. Lots of beans.
What's it like being Candace Cameron Bure's brother?
Oh.
That's what it says.
That's what it says.
Yeah.
That's what it really says. Yeah. I had to use it. Sorry. Isn't that funny?
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of my little sister. I taught her everything that she knows.
Yeah, you did.
And
yeah, you did.
Yeah. You know, it's really fun. It's fun for me to see her doing so well and doing so many good things. And to see her, she's obviously married and has kids, and
yeah.
they're all getting married. And so this is a great season for us to be in. And it's fun for me to meet people who have never seen Growing Pains because they're too young.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know what it is. And a mom will say, well, honey, this is the guy that played Mike Seaver on Growing Pains. And I used to see him in Tiger Beat magazine and all that kind of stuff. And they just have sort of have this blank stare, like deer in the headlights, like, Mom, I don't know what you're talking about. And then she'll say, oh, and his sister is Candace Cameron from Full House. And they're like, oh, really? Can I get your autograph? I'm like, great, great, sure. I might as well just sign it, you know, Candace's brother.
There you go. Yeah. Phil does that, Jennifer's husband.
Yeah,
and I'm
yeah.
not even a big deal, so there you go. What you got?
All right, hard left turn here, guys. So this is for either one of you. Can you recall a time when you were very doubtful in your faith? And what happened that changed your mind or helped you through that?
Have you ever doubted your faith?
I've doubted my faith a lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Do tell.
Why don't you go first?
All right. All right, Kirk. Here's mine. I remember one time that it was so bad that I went through a real dismantling. Mm. And I was depressed at the time and didn't really understand that I was depressed and understand the nature of depression and how it affects your cognitive abilities.
Yeah.
So I will summarize it quickly by saying, I had trusted Jesus my whole life. Of course I believed in the existence of God and the deity of Christ. But the deeper I got into this funk, I was like, well, Jesus, I mean, I know you're real because history says you're real, but are you really divine? And does God even exist? I mean, people live, I was so dismantled on the inside, but I was still doing the right things on the outside. And that's when the Lord led me to C.S. Lewis, because I was so mindful that he was brilliant. He had gone from atheism to theism, which was just a belief in God, to conversion to Christ and Christianity and a sincere believer in Christ. And I thought, he's smarter than I would ever be on my best day. So I literally started reading everything he wrote. And God used him as what I call an authoritative guide, who kind of led me back. I was like, well, if he can believe it, then I can believe it. And so God really used that then for me to come back to a real understanding. It's funny, though. I was praying the whole time. I was doubting. Mm-hmm. Lord, help me to believe. You know, that helped my unbelief.
Yeah.
So even though I said I was doubting and wasn't sure about all of it, I still believed enough to ask God for help. Mm. Yeah, do you have an occasion that you thought of?
Yes. Well, you know, I've doubted. I didn't doubt my faith. I doubted that what I had placed my faith in was true. Mm. So to me, you know, we believe some pretty crazy things. We believe that a virgin gave birth.
Yeah.
Right? We believe that a man rose from the dead. We believe that there is a God who spoke the universe into existence. We believe that a donkey talks. We believe all kinds of things that are pretty wild. And there were some times where I really felt like I would pray things like, God, if what I believe is not true, please knock it all down and show me the truth. Oh. If these other religions are true, if there is nothing out there, show me. And then I thought, of course, if there is no God, then I'm really talking to myself here. Mm-hmm. And so I just became so involved in apologetics to try to answer all of these tough questions and philosophy and all of this stuff. And then I came to a quote from Charles Spurgeon, which helped me. Is he said that he just struggled with depression, and much of that depression stemmed from his doubts, and he began to doubt everything.
Yeah.
He doubted truth. He doubted God. He doubted all these things, and he said once he unmoored himself from these absolute truths in Scripture, at the beginning it felt freeing to be able to go where no man had gone before and to venture into uncharted territory morally and philosophically and spiritually. He said, but then he said, if I was going to doubt everything, I realized to be consistent, I must begin to doubt my doubts. And he said, when I started to doubt itself, that is where the devil foiled himself.
Ooh.
And he said, it was then that I realized that in order to believe anything, you cannot eliminate faith from the equation. And in order for me to even say that there is no God or that there is no truth, I have to believe that that's true.
Right, yeah.
And so ultimately, faith is inescapable. It really just comes down to where are you going to place your trust? Who are you going to rely on? Or what are you going to depend on? And as I began looking at all of the alternatives, because if you're gonna reject Christianity, you are going to functionally replace it with some other belief system, even if it's atheism,
yes,
or Islam or anything else. And I found that all of them do not explain the world around me, do not explain the world we want to live in, don't answer the questions or provide a basis for truth, beauty, and goodness the way that the Scriptures do. And at the end of the day, my experience lines up with what Scripture says, and I can't find a better explanation than that. And that's just me thinking.
Yeah.
Beyond that, if there is a God who wants me to know him and is all-powerful, all-loving, and knows all things, at the end of the day, my trust that I've got it right is not in my ability to figure it out. It's in God's ability to save me.
Yes.
And again, it comes down to I didn't find God through an intellectual pursuit. He found me through a rescue mission.
Yes, he did. Hallelujah. Woo. Take up the offering. Let's do it. That was good. Wow.
All right, Jennifer, if Phil were to write a tell-all book, which
do
I would
it.
Buy.
Do it, Phil. We want to hear about the dark side of Jennifer Rothschild.
Any dishes that she's throwing around the kitchen?
She, you know, that's it. We hear about Fresh Grounded Faith, and mm-hmm. she's, you know, giving us this mm-hmm. light morning cup of coffee every time. We want the dark roast, yeah. Phil. We want to know how deep this depravity really goes.
Oh, man. Well, Phil could never write a book about me.
No?
And, no. Mm-mm. So what would it be titled?
Well, the question is, if he wrote a tell-all book, and they said called Living with Jennifer Rothschild, but I like The Dark Roast.
Well,
that's a
dark
much
roast
better
is
title.
Good.
Yeah, but the question is, what is the title of the chapter that we would all want to read first?
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, this is a nuanced question. This
okay.
Just like good coffee.
Because he knows everything. Oh, how her greatest strength is also her greatest weakness.
Ooh.
And I'm not going to tell you what either of them are. Next.
Yeah. Phil, it's up to you. You got to write it, or we'll never know.
The Dark Roast, taking pre-orders now.
I'm not an attendee at Fresh Grounded
yes.
Faith. I don't think I would be allowed to.
Right.
Do you have your own brand of coffee?
I do. We'll load you
Wonderful.
Up on your way out.
Okay, great.
It's called Girlfriend Blend, but it is strong enough for a man.
Phil, do you drink this girly coffee yourself? Of course he does. He's a smart husband.
Yes, he does. And you will too.
And I
want to hear how you like
it. Okay, great.
Okay.
Love it.
Hey, if you've ever sought the Lord to answer prayer, but you didn't feel like you were getting an answer, how do you distinguish between when the Lord is making you wait for an answer and when he's actually giving you the freedom to choose your path?
Ooh, Kirk.
So I want to make sure I heard it rightly.
Yeah.
When you're praying and you're asking for the Lord to give you discernment, direction.
Yeah, guidance. Mm-hmm.
And a guidance to make a choice, and you're waiting, how do you know if God is just wanting you to be patient and he'll let you know soon, or he's just giving you
green light?
Yeah,
green light. Mm-hmm.
Freedom to just choose whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Well, I've got a thought that has come to my mind.
Okay.
And this is from John MacArthur, who said this to me when I asked him, how do you find God's will for your life? And he said, Jennifer, maybe you've got this verse memorized. I want to look this up on my Bible app right now. Mm-hmm. What is the verse that says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Let the word of God
dwell in you richly.
Ephesians or Colossians.
Five.
I think there's two parallel verses there.
Sean is our resident pastor.
Okay, Sean.
He's got it.
Ephesians 5, around 15 or 16.
Songs making melody.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is
yeah.
that?
Yeah, when
spiritual
you are
songs.
Under the influence of the Spirit, you're singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual
okay,
psalms
so
to one another.
Chapter 5,
Ephesians
verse what?
Ephesians 5, around 15 and 16, so around in there.
What?
Oh, yeah, there's a parallel verse in Colossians. Okay, here it is. Okay, no, I'm going to go with Ephesians. It's essentially the same idea. So, He said to me, he said, you know, people want to find God's will and they ask, what is God's will for my life? And John had a very simple answer. It's simpler than I wanted it to be.
Right.
I want specifics.
We want it complicated.
Right? I'm like, Lord, just text me. You've got my number. Email me. Whatever it is, I will do it. But it's the indecision that is so frustrating. And John said, well, if you're wanting to know what God's will is, he said, it's not lost. He knows what his will for your life is, and he tells you in his word, surely. And here he says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do, what his will is for your life. Mm. Don't be drunk with wine, because that'll ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes, there's God's will for your life.
Yeah.
And he said, don't be controlled by alcohol and let that ruin your life. Instead, he said, if you are spirit-filled, singing and saying thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus, then go do whatever you want.
Yeah, wow.
So he really gave the green light freedom, saying if you're saved, spirit-filled, have a song in your heart and gratitude on your lips, then you can be confident that the Spirit is guiding you and go do what you want.
Yeah, because you're walking in the Spirit, so you're not going to fulfill the desires of the flesh,
exactly.
Which can send us wrong.
Exactly.
But we fulfill the desires of the Spirit. That's good.
And I think that ties into that verse we all love to hear, delight yourself in the
yes.
ways of the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
Well, you know, I used to think that, okay, well, I want this, and so God's going to give it to me. No, I think a really good, if not the correct understanding of that is that as I delight myself in the ways of God, He will actually place His desires in my heart, and then those will be the things that I want.
Yeah.
And as I walk in the Spirit, I can be free to choose whatever seems best.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah. I don't know if that's...
No, that did
it. You know,
it.
I mean...
That's...
It's still challenging, though, when you're trying to decide, should I take this job opportunity
right.
or not? Should I go to this college or that college? Should I date this man or that man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do you decide?
Yeah. But I think you're right. You just, one step at a time, you're walking with the Lord. And God has provided you godly counsel, and you listen, but ultimately to the Spirit's voice. Okay.
And when we look in the rearview mirror, we look back and say, God has clearly directed my path.
Yes.
In ways that I never would have chosen had I made it happen the way that I always thought it should. And I'm so grateful that He was leading me. Will He fail to guide us as
no.
we go forward when He's already shown Himself faithful in the no. past?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No. Amen. He won't.
Yeah.
He won't.
So if you could turn back time, either one of you, what day would you choose to relive and why? I assume this is like a day of your own life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our own lives.
Are we reliving this because it's just so good? Or because we're going to change it? I'm probably overthinking this question.
You do. You are one of the best overthinkers I've ever met. That's why I like you. Well, I'm just going to go with what first came to my mind.
Yeah.
Okay? When my dad was on his deathbed, and I was in Florida, and he was very confused that day, and I remember he got out of bed, and I was the only one in the room, and I had to try to get him back in bed. He was a little man, so physically it wasn't that hard, but he's my dad. He's my hero giant in a small body, and I remember just holding him to try to keep him in bed, and speaking Psalm 23 over him. And then I had to leave that night to go to Houston to speak. And when I was in the airport Sunday morning to come back the very next day, he passed away while I was in the airport. And if I could go back to one day, it would be the day I got to sit on the bed and hold my dad and speak Psalm 23 over him. It was just a precious day for me. Yeah.
Wow.
So. Yeah, I want to go shallow now.
Yeah. I just love this lady. Man. Boy.
Yeah.
You got to stay on your toes, Dr. Phil. You know? Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
This isn't shallow, but it's just in a different category.
Sure.
I would go back and try to do something to eliminate some regrets.
Mm. That's good. Yeah.
I love my wife Chelsea with all of my heart, and we've been married for 34 years, and living in Hollywood and doing all the things that we've done has been really exciting. It's also been a bit of a minefield to try to walk through all of the temptations and the lure of popularity and Hollywood and the applause and all sorts of things, and raised 6 children in Hollywood at the same time, all 1 year apart. So this was a huge job for Chelsea and for me too.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there was a point I would love to go back to when our house was full of kids and stress was high, and Chelsea was doing a phenomenal job raising 6 kids, no nannies. We had the help of my mom and dad. But I think there was a bit of... this is... honestly, I'm sharing this because it's you, Jennifer.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting that there's 2,000
right.
women in the room right now, and I probably shouldn't be saying these things.
Yeah, they won't tell.
This would be more a conversation for me and Chelsea and you and Phil.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember there being a sense of disappointment and jealousy in my heart when I didn't have all of Chelsea's attention the way that I did when we were dating.
Interesting.
And as much as I am so grateful for this wonderful season of life with all these little children running around, my very job put me in situations week after week after week where when I would speak, people would listen. Mm. When I would tell a joke, people would laugh and applause, maybe even stand up when I walked off of out of a spotlight. And when I would come home, I think that that had put a sense of pride in my heart and a kind of expectations that made me shift my heart focus off of my family and onto things like the pleasing of people and the applause of men. And it was really rotten in my heart, but I didn't realize it because I was doing all of this ministry stuff for God. And so I thought it had an inherent goodness to it. But this is where we can really make great mistakes. And I know that I have hurt my wife in the process of that. And we have been on a wonderful road where I have been learning what it means to really love and care for my wife in the last few years in ways that I have not in the past. I thought I was, but I wasn't. Yeah. And I see your husband, Phil, demonstrating these things, at least from the vantage point where I sit, in ways that I want to emulate. So if I could go back and remove some of these challenges and struggles and pains that I've caused to my precious wife, I wouldn't be on this road of repentance that I'm on now. However, I also know that there's been tremendous growth because of all of that.
That's right.
And God's working it all together for good. So
that's right.
It's probably why God doesn't give us time machines to go back and
right.
change things, because
right.
he knew it all from the beginning, and he's the great controller of all things.
That's right. And you know, he remembers our sin no more. And so to trust him well means that once it's under the forgiveness of God and we've repented, we
yeah.
don't need to remember our sin anymore either.
That's right.
And we can see how God uses it. Wow, that was beautiful. Hard and beautiful.
Yeah.
It really was. Well, I think, Sean, we need to get to our last question.
Yeah.
Because I know these ladies are going to be ready for lunch soon and
yes.
Getting to meet up with, we want to get to meet you guys. And I
Jennifer,
have one more special
question. Throw out something before the last question? I heard that last night there was a promise that was made about some golden tickets.
Yes, there were.
Okay. So I wasn't here. I didn't hear the whole thing,
mm-hmm.
but Phil filled me in.
Yeah.
And here's what we've done. The golden tickets have increased from, I think, 20 of them up to about 40 of them.
Oh.
And they have been hidden, just like Willy Wonka hid those tickets in those candy bars. These have been hidden inside of the book that I wrote called Born to Be Brave. And these sweatshirts, these Born to Be Brave, or what does it say? Be Brave sweatshirts. And so whoever gets those is going to be a part of not only the photo opportunity, but a special meet and greet that we're going to have after that. And so if you find one of these golden tickets, it's actually kind of cool. We'll get to hang out after, and they're just blended and mixed into everything that's out there
okay.
on the table.
And so that is a Be Brave t-shirt hoodie?
Yeah, it's a hoodie that says Be Brave on the front,
okay,
and it's really cool on the
James
back.
Okay, tell James to save me a small or an extra small, please. I want
okay.
one. I don't need a golden ticket. I've had enough of you.
Yeah, okay.
Kidding! You know I'm kidding!
Sorry,
I'm knocking over things. All right, let's get to our last question. I'm so glad there's more golden tickets, because listen, these ladies are going to want to be able to do that.
And my mom's going to be there too, so you get to meet her if you come.
And listen, there is no one more beautiful and gracious than Barbara Cameron. And I'm serious. She is. She's a gift.
Agreed.
All right. Last question.
So do you have a hidden or useless talent? I like the or useless part.
That's everything. A hidden or useless talent. Okay. Well, let me see if I can still do it. I used to be able to fold my tongue over. Okay. This will look gross, but here we go. Wait, hold on. I can't talk and do it. Oh.
Yes, she did it.
Okay, let me see. I got one more.
That is both hidden and useless.
It is hidden and useless. Now, let me see if I can do this. I used to be able to put my knee on my nose on my knee.
What?
Wow.
Ta-da! Useless. All right, Kirk.
Wow. All right.
Come on.
I can do something that none of you can do. Maybe one person in this whole place. That's my prediction.
Well, that's a high bar.
Yeah. What is it?
I can lick my elbow.
Lick it?
Can you lick your elbow? I'll give $100 to anybody who can lick your elbow.
Wow.
Let me see. Wow.
$100,
All right, I'm going to give you $100. I've actually never seen anybody do it, and I can't even do it. I just wanted to see all of you try. But that'll teach me. I'm out $100.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, that was really amazing. I don't know if she just has short humeruses or a long tongue,
long
but she did
tongue,
it.
Long tongue, baby. I bet she can fold it over twice. Well, I want you to thank Sean and Kirk because the beans are officially spilled. Thanks, you guys. That's awesome.